What's up, wrestling fans? Welcome to episode 177 of Smack Talk, presented by SmackOutMoment.com. I'm Tony Mango, your host of the panel, and joining me on the mic for this episode is Sean Walker.
I don't want to be here.
Stephen Wago.
177.
And Mike Payton.
I don't want Sean to be here either.
I want to do a Miguel and break my neck.
Oh, then you're going to die. We don't want that to happen.
Or I could be a vegetable in a wheelchair and blow into a little hole that makes my wheelchair move. Or be the puppet guy from one episode of Raw.
You're a little dark tonight, aren't you, Sean?
This episode got off to a fucking horrible start.
Jeez. So, we're not going to be talking about vegetables for this whole episode. Instead, our two main events are going to be Superstar Scores AJ Lee. And since we don't have the Fantasy League, I bumped up the mailbag for this week. Woo! So that's going to be our final part.
Oh, God, we got to read mail from these weirdos.
Now Tony's going to read it, then you're going to answer. Add up an answer.
We've got hot tags guys, really. Coming up in part two, wrestle in part three, and right now we are in part one, which means it's time for the wrestling trivia question of the week, otherwise known as the Ask Him. For those who don't know, it consists of two different questions, one to the panel, one to the audience, and they tie in together in some fashion. Last week's question to the panel was, name the superstar who wrestled in two WWE World Heavyweight Championship matches in both back-to-back WrestleMania events. That was Yokozuna at WrestleMania 9 and 10, because he wrestled Bret Hart and Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania 9, and Luger and Bret at WrestleMania 10. So, question to the audience was, name the superstar who has had the most in-ring time at a single WrestleMania other than Shawn Michaels or Bret Hart, because that would pretty much be, you know, an easy thing, the Iron Man match. The answer to that was Daniel Bryan. His two WrestleMania matches at WrestleMania 30 ended up being somewhere in, like, the upper 40-something minute range, and that puts him above everybody else. So, Peter guessed the Iron Man match that's, you know, rolled out. Mora Supremo says, I will say Savage or Undertaker because I don't know how fucked this question is, if it is an okay, fuck you, or a haha Tony Mango question. Fuck Silent Wind of Doom and Lanny Poffo and you, Tony. So now Silent Wind of Doom is getting mixed in there. Mora Supremo.
I love you.
Rosa Show says, I'd have to see Triple H. Actually, no reason, just because. Watchmen King says, let's go with Savage and fuck Virgil. I'm going to add Virgil into the mix here.
Yeah, I like this new campaign. Fuck Virgil.
Yeah,
fuck Virgil. Fuck Virgil, fuck Lanny Poffo, and especially fuck Silent Wind of Doom.
I'm pretty sure that life fucked Virgil. Like, really badly. Is he still doing that whole Grand Central stuff?
I think he just walks around with that fucking Virgil Superstar sign and puts it wherever he can.
We should do a Superstar Scores edition of Virgil one time.
I'd be okay with that, but he'll probably like message you asking for $20.
Jamie O'Halloran says Daniel Bryan, gets that correct. Tell Winna Doom says, okay, I'm actually gonna use my knowledge of wrestling to say that it was Randy Savage based on him winning the tournament. Was it at WrestleMania 4? No, those matches actually weren't that long, so that's deceiving. Or it could be his opponent, since it's fucking Tony. For all I know, it's going to be friggin' referee. Oh, that would have been funny if I would have caught that. Oh, man, I didn't think about that. If either of those is true, I hope your doctor, nurse, and morgue technician are all Lanny Poffo. I'm going to let The Undertaker still be your Undertaker. I'm not going to mess with that guy. You want to tell him you gave his job to Lanny Poffo?
He has a point.
That's true. If it's a more normal answer, I'm just going to tell The Undertaker you gave his job to Lanny Poffo. So let's see what happens when you tell Undertaker that. Mike McCormick, winner of that most recent contest, says, I can imagine the genius as a doctor just, like, taking notes on his scroll and cartwheeling around the office through the hallways, giving people their diagnosis in poem form. I want to see that. Classic gimmick, fuck Lanny Poffo, though. Also, sick question again, Tony. Good health and good wishes. I think the longest WrestleMania match was the Triple Threat match, so I guess the answer would be either Triple H, Foley, Big Show, or The Rock. Nope. And finally, Johnny Cathway says, I'm going to say Undertaker just for shits and giggles because he wrestled in 23 different manias. And Tony Mango, I hope your Fantasy League team for this year is buried to all hell by Tensai and Lanny Poffo. There's some kind of, like, weird tag team going on with Tensai and Poffo. Something's going to happen there. I don't know. So, the question this week. to the panel. We're going to keep these Extreme Rules themed. What type of match has taken place the most at Extreme Rules?
Cage.
Nope.
An Extreme Rules match?
Nope.
Ambulance.
A singles match.
Yep, a singles match. A non-gimmick match has had more matches at Extreme Rules than anything else. Isn't that stupid? 7 of them. On the pay-per-view that's supposed to be all matches are Extreme Rules. So that's kind of a fuck you that WWE does. But on the opposite end of the spectrum, the question to the audience, what type of gimmick stipulation match has taken place the most at Extreme Rules? And I'm already going to help you guys out with one thing. They do classify Extreme Rules as being different. They have had Extreme Rules matches, no count out / no DQ matches, no holds barred, triple threat hardcore matches, and street fights.
What about a barroom brawl?
They haven't had any of them at Extreme Rules. They haven't had a Belfast brawl either. They haven't had a boiler room brawl either. They haven't had any brawls, actually, I don't think. But so already the number one answer that probably most people would have guessed, the Extreme Rules match. If you're going to guess that, that is just Extreme Rules match, none of the other kind of stuff. Which, by the way, I'm already going to tell you another thing. It's not Extreme Makeover match. I can't believe I had that shit. So if you think you know the answer or you just want to take a guess, then leave a comment below or send a tweet at SmartGalMoment with the hashtag AskHim. And next episode, we'll tell you who gets it right, gets it wrong, the answer, and everything else like that. We're going to continue on here with the hot tags in part 2, so stay tuned. Click on that next video. We will be right back. Welcome back, everybody. We are on the second part here, and that means it's time for the weekly hot tag topics. A couple that are going on this week. One of them we're going to primarily talk about during our main event, but nonetheless, let's throw out a little thing here. AJ Lee has retired from WWE. That happened like right after we recorded the Smack Talk episode from last week, so let's touch on that a little bit. What do you guys think about AJ Lee? You going to miss her? You think that she's a future Hall of Famer? Stuff like that?
Absolutely, if her relationship remains well. I won't miss her. She's done everything she needs to do. Honestly, she's been rather stale the last year or so. I'm sure it hasn't been easy for her being around, considering the tense relationship between her husband and the company right now. So I think this is best for everybody involved right now. Whatever she wants to do, I don't know. I wouldn't expect her to be like TNA bound or anything like that. I think if she wants to wrestle, she's going to do it for the number one company because she can. She just has nothing to do there.
Yeah, she's not going to go to, like, Lucha Underground or, you know, Glow or anything like that.
Honestly, if she was going to go to any of them, I think Lucha Underground would be the one because they're the one with the most buzz right now. But, again, I think she's going to either go, like, maybe a different career path or maybe she's just going to settle down. Honestly, I bet her and Punk have enough money saved up to just retire, be good for life.
And he's going to get big money from the UFC, too. So he's pretty much, like, retirement-bound whenever he feels like it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with Payden on the fact that I'm not going to miss her. And I feel bad for her in some respects, because there is nothing left for her to do there, even if she is passionate about wrestling still. I mean, she's won the championship. What else is there for her to do? Win the championship 20 other times? It's pointless.
Won the championship. She's main event, not main event, but she's been in WrestleMania twice and won. She's been a part of the main event. She was a main event storyline person. How often do you have a girl in the main event or a woman?
It's hard to say she's a main event wrestler, but she was definitely a main event star. She's had her place, she had her time, but she's probably just done with wrestling more so because she's complete and there's nothing for her left to accomplish. The only thing that's left for her to accomplish, say, in a Lucha Underground is that she gets to wrestle with men and maybe beat them. But outside of that, there is nothing, and I doubt she really wants that.
Right. Well, again, it's do you want to keep doing your craft? You know, that's what you are as a performer, and you keep doing it, and you keep being awesome. And you can try to innovate as you can. If you really want to do it, that's what you can. I just don't think she wants to wrestle anymore.
Plus, she's young.
Yeah.
Like, she could use this time, heal up a little bit if she's got any nagging injuries, maybe have a kid, focus on Punk's career, come back in, you know, 3 years or something like that if she wanted to. Maybe that by that time the tension's gone and Punk isn't, like, you know, a bad word to say backstage or something. Because I can imagine that's got to be really tough. She goes backstage and everybody's just kind of like, oh, AJ, you know, how you been? How's your husband?
<You know? laughs> I do feel bad for her in this respect that she's left WWE now. And there's a lot of people on the internet going, oh, it's fucking CM Punk making her fucking quit and this and that. That's not fair to say unless the facts are out there. More than likely, she's just done. Mm-hmm. Let her go off in peace. Let her enjoy the fruits of her labor. And stop being such a cynical cock about it. This is why you're fat, you live in your basement, and nobody likes you.
Yeah.
The whole thing is kind of weird, though. There's something fishy about this situation, though. The way WWE even acknowledged it on Raw, they never acknowledge anything like this like that.
I think what's odd about it is the timing.
The timing, the abruptness of it, like, there's something fishy about this.
And there's, of course, dirt sheets, you can't really, you know, just believe everything, but one thing that has been thrown out there, might have no validity, might, I don't know, is that she told them that she was going to retire, like, right after the match at WrestleMania. To me, that wouldn't make any sense. I don't believe that.
I wouldn't be surprised if she did that, if she thinks she can go out on top if she found out she's winning in advance. That's a good way to make yourself look strong on the open up, so on the way out, so perfect.
I have nothing to say on the matter. I'm going to miss that cute little ass. That's it.
Hey, you still got Paige.
Yeah, but she doesn't wear jean shorts. She doesn't wear tight jean shorts.
That's true.
No, she wears, like, yoga shorts. It's even better. Yeah.
Let's move on to another topic here. Justin Roberts, former announcer for WWE, has accused WWE of using the whole Conor the Crusher induction just specifically for publicity purposes. WWE fires back and says, no, fuck you, buddy. And Conor's dad kind of skirted the issue. He didn't really say anything to support Roberts, and he didn't say anything to negate what Roberts said, so I'm getting a feeling that maybe even his dad feels that way a little bit, but of course they did it for that reason. I mean, we're all in agreement for that, right?
I think someone needs to order him a DUR stat. Ever, it's fucking obvious. That's the entire reason they're doing this Make-A-Wish bullshit. Mm-hmm. It's great. And in all fairness, it's a fantastic thing to do. You can't take away from them.
Plus, let's not specify it's the entire reason. I'm sure, you know, they actually did give a shit about this kid dying and stuff like that. But it's got to be, like, the forefront reason.
They could just donate a shit ton of money and go, hey, look, we're good people. But no, they do something really special for these kids that are on the way out. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely a PR stunt.
He even specifically mentions the thing that we've been talking about for weeks, that Ultimate Warrior didn't specify this.
Ultimate Warrior's idea was it go that award or whatever, or when they recognize someone, it's because of their hard work behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. He specified a big, like a merchandise guy?
I don't know. I actually want to throw something out there. Does Conor not have a big influence behind the scenes? Does he not, in a way, kind of fit the bill for what Warrior wanted?
If you stretch it, I think so, but
it's obviously not what he intended.
Well, it's kind of like saying
we got to see how else this award goes.
Let me say this though: I don't think he'd be angry at Conor getting the award.
Right? Yeah.
But I don't think it's what he intended.
Like, I think that's stretching it kind of in the same way as if you were to say Conor is a great superstar because the WWE universe is part of the characters in WWE, kind of a thing. You know what I mean? Like, you can sort of bullshit an excuse for that, but it's not the same thing. And, you know, a lot of people are trying to bitch out to Justin Roberts and saying, like, you're just upset because you got fired and stuff. No, he has valid claims
to be upset, though. He was involved a lot with the Conor situation.
Mm-hmm.
And they have not recognized that whatsoever. I mean, I think more so than anything, I don't think he even cares if he's being recognized or not. It's the fact that they just cut him out of the entire thing.
Well, plus he probably feels like, you know, I put some effort into trying to make this kid feel better and stuff, and now you're just exploiting it? Like, what the hell? I'd be mad if I was in that position.
Right, Mike?
I want to know when the Eliminator is going to go in.
I mean, listen, this is a big corporation doing big corporation things. Justin Roberts is not marketable. Daniel Bryan is.
Mm-hmm.
Stephanie McMahon is. Triple H is. So we're going to show kind of the Crusher with those people.
Right. Now, if he's just complaining about this because he's like, he wanted his own face on there and stuff, that would be a different story. I don't think that's the case, though. You know.
I think he just wanted some kind of acknowledgement, which he got absolutely nothing. And I think that's fair. If he had at least gotten like a chance to like speak more during the videos they showed about Connor, I think they could have at least included him. But
you know what would have even been nice if they just... Because there's audio of him announcing Connor. If they just played that. That's all you have to do.
So, there are rumors that we might be getting a new United States Championship belt, that John Cena specifically requested a new design, and WWE might go ahead with it. What do you guys think about that? I don't think that's true.
I'm perfectly fine with this. It is a new era for the United States Championship. It's a new champion. They're trying to set a new tone, but these belts are mean more. At least, that's what they seem. This is exactly what they should do. And, to be quite honest, that belt right now has a perfectly fine design. It's actually one of the less uglier ones they've churned out. But I'm open to see something else. I just don't want a spinner. And I don't think he'll give us a spinner.
If you redesign any titles in WWE right now, you got to redesign the tag titles.
Yeah.
This is fucking hideous.
Yeah, when fucking Bret Hart showed those off to give to him, I'm like, ugh. Why are you giving him those? Is this a dud prize?
Must be like a Canadian thing.
This is what happens when we let Canadians design our titles.
Yeah, but they just redesigned
the old school WCW United States belt. I thought that was better than the WWE.
It was a little chunky, but I didn't mind it.
You know what I liked about that? It looked sort of similar to the Intercontinental one. Like, it's got that more rectangular edge to it, you know?
Well, if they're going to try to differentiate, then the last thing they want to do is make the belts look the same.
Right. But, I mean, that's why I liked that. That's why I think that the Intercontinental title, if they redesign the U.S. one, they can't touch the Intercontinental one. Like, that's perfect. Just keep that one forever.
Absolutely.
But the U.S. one, yeah, maybe there's a better design out there. I like the WWE title design that they use now, so it's not like everything that they do is always like, well, you know, it's terrible, you got to go back to the past and stuff. But, yeah, definitely no spinner. I doubt that they would do that, though. And the thing that makes me think that they're not going to get this, they just redid these with the new network logo. And on top of that, they just made a t-shirt with this design on it for John Cena. That whole champ is here and it points down to the belt. It's got the U.S. title.
To be fair, though, he's had, like, shirts straight after Mania that have only been shown on television for a month before he switched them up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, some limited edition time t-shirt kind of thing. That's true. I didn't think about
that. Yeah, he's done it a few times. If anyone's going to do that, actually, it would be John Cena.
It's all about the money.
Can I throw an interesting plot twist to this?
You can put it down. I'm not comfortable
with it. Whoever wins,
I might catch it if you throw it. I don't know.
Well, you're close, Sean. I actually think that this isn't for John Cena. I think somebody's going to answer his open challenge. And I don't know who it's going to be, but whoever that person that answers and wins it is going to be the person that gets a new
Rob
fresh design belt.
Van Dam.
Samoa Joe.
So then Rob Van Dam wins it, and every time he does the points, it's like U.S.A.
You see, you won it. Wouldn't it be great if the title had arms that did it in sync?
Like, instead of the side plates, it's two arms pointing towards the center.
And then LED lights that go U.S.
The little, like, pop-up book things, like the top of it, you pull a tab and it moves back and forth.
You see, this is starting to sound the shit. Bring RVD back.
Fucking RVD. He just did an interview, and they were like, well, when are you gonna come back? And he's just like, I don't know, last time they didn't have shit for me. It didn't feel like RVD was a big deal, so, you know, fuck them, kind of. And it's like, well, RVD isn't a big deal.
Well, then why'd you stay in TNA for so long?
Right.
Because they treated him like a big deal.
Because it was the whole effing show.
They did?
God, I hate that
thing. They did for a month. Month's pretty good. You don't normally get a month in TNA.
Speaking of the U.S. title...
What they did the week before.
Speaking of the U.S. title, this is just a side thing. No hot tag related to it, but... You know, if we don't have somebody like Rusev win the title from Cena, who do you think should win it down the line? And when do you think that they should win it? Because this U.S. Open thing that they're doing is pretty cool. And having Dean Ambrose and Stardust and stuff, like, we could get a random guy that's not on Cena's level just become Cena's level.
We don't... Here's the thing. I think when they finally do it, it's going to be someone that's not even established yet. That doesn't mean it has to be an NXT guy necessarily. It could just be a guy we've forgotten about on the main roster.
I think it probably will be Bray Wyatt. I think he's there. He's still someone that they got a lot of energy behind. You put this title onto him after it's gotten some steam put behind it by Cena. Again, going to the whole custom design thing, I can imagine them making a really awesome custom design for Bray Wyatt. He's got to do something to rebound from that Undertaker loss. And he's talking to somebody. We don't know who he's talking to right now. His promos are as fucking cryptic as ever. Maybe it's Cena.
Sean, any thoughts?
I was thinking somebody new, like somebody like completely off the roster that we haven't seen yet to make their debut. But I don't know anybody who's out of contract and shit down like a TNA or Ring of Honor and shit. So that'd be interesting. I would like to see somebody debut and beat Cena. Or I was thinking Norval.
Norval.
I'd be actually fine with them giving Neville that nod. I don't think they ever will, but the more I see of him, the more I think he's just so perfect for the mainstream audience. Go Neville.
I don't think it would be too early to put the belt on Neville.
A US belt? You could put that on him right away. That's fine. Away,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
New design.
The belt that gravity forgot.
Yeah, it flies up with that cape.
Flies up with a cape and never comes back down to the earth. Yeah.
It's like, oh, shit. Vince, I need another belt.
Was his cape the same cape that he wore the week before? Because I didn't see that fucker come down.
Really ought to put like a string or something on that thing.
There's just like, you know how they hide the trampoline for when the Lucha Dragons come out? They're just hiding that there's this dude standing like on a like position with like a harness and stuff a little bit above fucking Adrian Neville. Every time he throws that up in the air, the guy just catches it and they roll him back up. Yeah, look at that. Gravity forgot that cape. It's gone forever.
Every damn time. I keep spending like $100 a pop on these.
He's like, all right, this time I'm just going to throw it down to the ground. That way I won't lose it. What the fuck? It's flying back up. Goddamn bouncy ball. What the hell's going on here? Two more hot tags to talk about. WWE announced that SmackDown is going to be coming to the USA Network in early 2016, and they also announced that Tough Enough is going to be coming to the USA. So not only is Tough Enough returning, but it's not going to be on the network, as everybody was pretty much expecting. Some rumors are going around about this now. One thing is for SmackDown that they're going to try to make that more of like a solid B-plus show and do a lot of angles where something happens on Monday and then the payoff is on Thursday. I don't know if that's really going to happen or not. And the rumor for Tough Enough right now is that Stone Cold Steve Austin's not going to be the head coach of that. It's going to be the guy who took the podcast position, Chris Jericho.
Oh.
Oh, God.
So is Vince like, fuck Austin. Asking those shitty questions. What else is he doing? Yeah, fucking put Jericho in there.
He just like goes onto this Word document, replace all Steve Austin, Chris Jericho. Stone Cold Chris Jericho.
Find a replace. That's great.
He's got like he's just fucking replacing him and shit where it's even awkward, more awkward because it's like an Austin DVD just filled with Jericho matches.
So like one of the best WrestleMania feuds of all time, The Rock against Chris Jericho, WrestleMania 18, WrestleMania's. Man, I don't know if I want to see Jericho as the host of this.
Nope.
Hey, you know what's gonna be awesome? No built a mutt.
Mm. Hey, remember that time that Chris Jericho beat The Rock and Chris Jericho in the same night?
That was crazy.
So is WrestleMania this a good 30 was great when they opened with The Rock, Hulk Hogan, and Chris Jericho.
The rattlesnake, Chris Jericho.
Jericho 316 says, "I just stole your move."
So is this a good thing for SmackDown? Is this a good thing for Tough Enough to be on the USA Network instead of the alternative?
This is a long time coming for both of these things. I can't believe SmackDown wasn't negotiated to be on USA a decade ago. Like this, yes. It's ridiculous.
I think that's because whoever owns USA they probably wanted to have different brands to try to get, like, different markets and stuff. Like, remember how they had ECW on Sci-Fi for some fucking reason?
It's going to stay on Thursday nights, right?
Yeah.
Good.
I hope so, because that was a good move for them. And their ratings are up from it still, so.
I was disappointed to hear Tough Enough being on USA, though. I wanted that on to the WWE Network.
I think it would have been a better. Put on the network after the season's over.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that the directive of the show is going to be different. Because USA's probably going to, like, tamper. They're going to be like, well, we want more reality shit. And, you know, WWE, they could have done more wrestling.
The description I've been reading was, like, not very enticing. It was, like, more interactive elements and whatnot. I'm like, oh, this doesn't sound... It sounds like it's going to be, like, a, like the that redo of... or excuse me, the first few seasons of NXT.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. Where, like, you know, go on the website and you can pick the challenge that they're going to do next week. And...
It was like American Idol with wrestling.
Yeah.
Stupid.
And, you know, like, that in its entirety isn't, like, a bad thing. But if they do it with the idea of trying to be, like, a typical American Idol thing, they're going to fuck it up. Like, it's not bad if you have, like, Monday Night Raw and it's like, okay, well, which person do you want to fight in this match? That's fine. Tough Enough, though, if you're like, well, you know, who moves on next week or who is safe and stuff, and then it just becomes a stupid popularity contest. And then it's going to be, you know, the good-looking guy wins because he gets all the women to vote for him, and the good-looking girl wins, well, you know, they're all supposed to be good-looking, but, you know, you get a, like, a lot of people on Twitter that support you, and suddenly you're the next Tough Enough person, even if you can't wrestle.
What shit's all
ever happened to the last guy who won Tough Enough?
I think he went back down to FCW for like 3 weeks and they got fired.
Yeah, they basically said, hey, congratulations, come out and Raw. Huh? You got stunned.
Yeah, no, Stone Cold gave him a stunner on his welcome segment and he basically was a dumbass and no-sold it and was like standing outside of the ring right after he got it and then you never saw him again.
I don't think that was Stone Cold. I thought that was Austin. I thought it was Jericho.
Oh, good point.
Because the only guy who's ever made anything from Tough Enough is The Miz, isn't it?
No, Morrison.
John Morrison.
Shad Gaspard, kind of. Ryback was in Tough Enough.
Yeah, Ryback,
yeah. He was in the same season as The Miz, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's the one that the women too. He just kept eating things, and Al Snow would scold him.
Oh, shit. I mean, freaking
damn it,
Cameron.
Ryan.
Cameron came from the last season.
Oh, yeah.
Josh Matthews. He was the very first season, I think.
Hey guys, I can do a moonsault. You're a commentator.
Hey, of course we can't forget Maven.
I like Maven.
Wasn't there like some woman that started there?
Wasn't there like a diva that had like a decent career? Was it Melina?
Nidia.
Yeah, Melina was in the series.
I thought Melina was a diva search.
Nope.
Nidia. Still Nidia.
No, she wasn't that great. It was the one who married Charlie Haas.
Yeah, Nidia.
Jackie Gata?
Yeah, she came from Tough Enough, I think.
Yeah,
she was fucking abysmal.
She's better than Nidia.
She isn't. Like, have you seen Jackie Gata wrestle? She's the worst diva they've ever had.
Not saying that she was great. I thought that Nidia sucked, too.
No, like, Jackie really fucking sucked. Like, she was like some special kind of sucking.
So that's why Charlie Haas married her.
Hey-o.
I wonder what she looks like nowadays. She was fit back in the day.
Last time I saw a picture of her, she looked pretty much exactly the same.
Soul. Last time I saw a picture.
So, are you guys going to be watching Tough Enough, or is this something you're going to skip out on?
I'll probably wait until it's done and binge watch a few episodes of it.
Oh, and who do you guys think should be the coaches? I think that should just be, like, Albert. They need some woman for sure. They're not, you know, they're going to put a woman on there.
Don't care. Like, Austin was so golden in that role. Like, have you seen the gif where he's laughing and then just stops? He's got one of those from Tough Enough, too. And he's got there was that great moment. So, what's your favorite match?
Yeah. Melina versus Alicia Fox.
Jericho's not going to be able to grill people like that.
Yeah, you actually watched Austin have an aneurysm in that scene. It's fucking great.
Well, let's see. They're going to need to have a main, like, big star. They're going to have, like, a supporting big star. Remember how Booker T kind of filled that role?
Yeah, then they had Christian.
Then they had the hard ass, and then they had Trish Stratus for, you know, the woman's perspective.
Do you think they had the balls to put freaking who's that tattooed guy from NXT?
Corey Graves.
Corey Graves. Do you get the balls to put him in it?
No, I don't think so. Maybe as like the host of the show.
But yeah, I can see him host it.
Yeah, not like a trainer.
No,
I could
train people to get concussions.
I could see if they go with a kind of like B-level sort of star. I could see Christian fill in that role since he brought him up. They don't really have too much for him right now.
Just let Rhino do it. Rhino's awesome.
Maybe Albert is like that kind of role. Maybe not. I don't know. He's not the main star for sure. They couldn't do that. They couldn't sell it on that. I don't think that there's too many like main guys that would be interested in it.
What if they can get Undertaker?
That would be fucking amazing if they could get him. Mm-hmm. Never happened, but that would be awesome, though.
I still want them to just do a show where they film him, because he's always like the judge, jury, and executor during Wrestler's Court. Just film that shit. It'd be great.
You know who would be, I think, a good choice for the Diva trainer? Beth Phoenix.
Ooh. Yeah, but they'll probably get Lita.
Ugh. Maybe. If they get Trish back, then that's okay.
Trish was fucking terrible. I'll never forget there was that one scene with one of the girls, and they were like sitting on yoga mats and talking about being on periods. It's fucking stupid.
Let's see. Well, we have one other thing to talk about, another Chris Jericho thing, the podcast. What do you guys think about that?
I've not finished watching it, but so far, so good.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
A little bland, right?
Cena was actually fantastic. I think this is actually my favorite I've ever seen Cena. He was very loose. He was telling a lot of fun stories. He was very humble and very open about a lot of things. I've never seen him with his guard down quite like that. He was very comfortable talking to Jericho.
You could tell that they were friends.
Yeah. Jericho, on the other hand, though, was fucking horrendous. First off, he was wearing this hideous scarf the whole freaking time. Like,
I thought it was just like a really long string.
I don't know who told him it was a good idea to wear that. I mean, Jericho's always like had some wacky things he's gone out there and worn, but come on, Jericho. How old are you now? Let's get ridiculous.
Don't you love Midlife Crisis, Jericho? It's the best evolution, I'm telling you.
And he was just boring throughout this entire thing. I mean, he luckily wasn't as obnoxious as he is on his podcast. There was no cowbells. There was no...
sore subject, cowbells.
There's no five-minute break for a Fozzy song. There was no... Hibbity-dibbity.
That shit fucking annoys me. That's the most annoying part of his podcast.
He does that on his podcast?
It's how he talks about sex. He like goes into an infant and starts going
Really? Like that's like a regular thing? That sounds fucking
obnoxious as all hell. The best of it is, this is how he promotes one of his fucking products.
Oh yeah, what, MeUndies?
Yeah.
When you get ready for some hibbity-dibbity, you want to make sure you're wearing the right undies.
It's like,
the fuck?
I don't want to imagine hibbity-dibbity when I'm trying to fucking bag.
So these are the reasons why I've never listened to his podcast, I guess.
Hibbity-dibbity. I'm going to keep doing that now.
You're going to have that stuck in your head. You're going to buy some of these underwear.
Me undies. Yeah, fuck
that. I kind of think that he was like a teleprompter almost. Like he just sort of read out a question here and there, and that was about it. Like
he was probably being fed a lot of stuff, and unlike Austin, I'm sure whatever was going in his ear, he was listening to.
Very tame. I didn't like that about it.
One line I did like they threw out there. So do you ever get mad when Vince yells at you? No, because it pisses me off.
Didn't even let him finish his answer.
That would have been great if he just went on a rant, though. He goes, pisses me off, I mean, it's one fucking time.
You know Vince is fucking listening because of how anally was over the other podcasts.
Well, you know what made this podcast different, too, is that we didn't have an authority person there. Before you had Vince, and then you had Triple H, and you know they had the freedom to be like, hey, we're going 10 minutes longer. John Cena, you can't really. I mean, he probably could.
Well, but it's John Cena. Of course he can.
Well, the way that he was talking, he basically made it sound like he was, you know, third in command for the creative decisions and stuff. He was just kind of like, yeah, we do have our meetings. We talk about creative things, and we, you know, if I say something, then whatever. And, like, kind of implied that a little bit.
I think he more just means of his own direction. I think he's a guy who just has a lot of, you know, protection of his own direction. As he should, if he's a guy on top.
You went a little Dr. Seuss there. He's got a little protection of his own direction.
Sure. On the right.
Protection of direction.
So, judging by what you guys have seen from this, is this something that you're going to be checking out when they have that as the a featured thing on the network? Or is this just like, I'll catch it if I catch it, and if not, then I don't care?
Well, it depends on the guest.
I got to think that he would run out of people really quickly.
I mean, who else is there? They've done Austin. They've done Triple H. What? Who else are they going to bring in there that you're really going to want to? Maybe like a Brock Lesnar or a Paul Heyman. Maybe Stephanie.
Undertaker.
Undertaker would be great. That would have to be Austin, though.
I just imagine fucking Undertaker sitting in front of Jericho going,
and Undertaker just staring at him like, what the fuck am I doing on this show? Why did I pass up Tough Enough to do this? What if, like, Jericho gave that scarf to Undertaker? Here, just wear this during here. If anybody's going to make that look even more awkward than Jericho, it would be Undertaker wearing that shit.
But he has to wear a fedora at the same time.
I don't know. It was an interesting listen more than a watch, because I just put it on when I was trying to sleep. I'll put on those kind of things, but if they start getting more like his podcast from what I'm hearing with this whole hibbity-dibbity thing, then I probably will just pass. And like you said, it depends on the guest a little bit too, because if Jericho's bringing all the people that I don't give a shit about, then what's the point?
Oh, if he starts bringing like those rock star people to the WWE network, that's going to bomb so bad.
And you know Vince would be all over that shit going, oh yeah, fucking celebrity.
Oh god, yeah, that'll probably be his next guest. It'll probably be like Gene Simmons or Axl Rose or some shit.
Somebody maybe that has been in WWE, so they could try to pass that off as like, well, let's talk about your fucking musical performances in WWE. And then, you know, now that we got that out of the way, the next 45 minutes are all about, don't you like Lynyrd Skynyrd? And shit, like, don't want to see that. Even with the wrestling stuff, like if he starts interviewing people like Mark Merrow, I don't give a shit about that. Or like, I don't know, Tito Santana, or, you know.
What about if you got Ricky Steamboat?
Maybe. Only if he asks him the questions about, like, boats and stuff. So how's Tugger doing? He's like, what the fuck's that mean?
It'd be great if you got Ricky Steamboat and be like, oh, man, fucking Tito Santana show.
I'm here with my guest, Tito Santana. He's just like, why is everybody getting this fucking confused? I don't get this. All right, well, that'll do us.
We're a different race, damn it.
I'm a dragon. He was a matador. What's confusing about this shit? I think that'll do us in for the hot tags of this week. Tell us what you thought about all these different kind of topics in the comments below. We're going to take a little bit of a break with the rest hold, and we're going to come back and do first of the two different main events for this evening, Superstar Scores, AJ Lee. Welcome to the rest hold, everybody. This is our commercial break section filled with all the information that you need to know this week to promote the Smarkout Moment channel, the brand itself, the Mango Tree branches, and anything else going on that we need to make you aware of, including the outside interference articles. Now, I've written one for Bleacher Report about the Extreme Rules gimmicks that are coming, possibly some different matches and what I think they're going to give the stipulations to for those, and another one for how can WWE bounce back from AJ Lee's in-ring retirement for e-wrestling news. So go to my profiles on those two websites. You'll find links to them. You can also find them below on YouTube if you're watching this there, the Smarkout Moment and Tony Mango Facebook and Twitter accounts, and lastly, the outside interference section of the homepage of SmarkOutMoment.com. The Smark My Words comment of the week goes to The Roses Show. The build-up to this pay-per-view, meaning WrestleMania, was basically like having blue balls for 5 weeks, and Mania was our long overdue release. That's a good way to put it, so I like that. Thank you, Rosa Show, for leaving your comment. Thank you to everybody else who left a comment as well and participated in all the different avenues that we can for you guys to tell us to smark your words. Make sure that you guys do that each and every week, and who knows, maybe you'll be chosen next week. One of those other avenues is facebook.com/group/themegamaniacs. That's where we goof off throughout the week. So if you're on Facebook, then make sure that you're on The Megamaniacs. The next edition of the monthly mailbag is going to be coming up on episode 181. You know, we're going to do one today, but we're going to do another one, obviously, for next month. So if you want to pick our brains about anything, whether it's wrestling related or not, then what you can do is fill up our inbox, send us questions in a bunch of different ways, and we will answer anything that you guys send our way. As part of the Sign Me Up initiative, if you bring a Smarkout Moment sign to any wrestling related events that you attend in the near future, just send a picture or a video of yourself to me, and I'll give you a spotlight on the website and on the next episode of Smack Talk. If you're interested in helping support Smarkout Moment on the monetary side of things, there's three ways that you can do that. Patreon.com/SmarkoutMoment, the PayPal donation button at the bottom of SmarkoutMoment.com, and the fan funding module on the YouTube channel. Anything that you guys send our way, greatly appreciated, not going to beg for it or anything like that, but I know that certain people like to do that stuff, and if you want to help out, of course, anything helps out. If you want to hear more of our opinions about different things and you want to hear what we think about the nerdy stuff that we're fond of outside of wrestling, then you can head on over to SmarkoutMoment.com's sister website, FanboysAnonymous.com, my geek culture website. You can follow the Facebook and Twitter accounts, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and YouTube.com/FanboysAnonymous. And if you want something even more random throughout the week, or whatever we decide to, then you can listen to the All Talk Show, which you can find on iTunes, Stitcher, and YouTube.com/AllTalkShow for the archived editions of that if you can't listen live on MegapowersRadio.com. When we decide to do an episode, you'll know when you go on Facebook.com/AllTalkShow, because that's where we announce that. And, of course, the Twitter account, not quite the same, but it's The All Talk Show. So if you guys want to just hear us bullshit and ramble on about nonsense, that's where you'll find that. Lastly, if you are interested in joining the Smarkout Moment team as a writer, editor, or anything else for that matter, then you can send in your application using the contact form of the website, and I will get back to you with more information as soon as I can. We've got two different main events to come up, so stay tuned, everybody. Click on the next video. Smack Talk will be right back. Welcome to our first of two main events for this episode. We're going to do another edition of Superstar Scores. If you're unfamiliar with what that segment is, that's where we take a wrestler, or really we could do kind of like anybody, I guess, and try to apply them, but it's mostly going to stick with wrestlers, of course.
Can we do Conor the Crusher?
I don't know about that one. We'll have to ask Justin Roberts if we can. Okay. We take them and we rate them on a 0 to 10 scale on 10 different categories. Final score of 100 is what they're trying to get. Obviously, 100 is the best and 0 is the worst. But these five umbrella categories have two different categories inside them. We try to break down everything from a superstar and just see what they rank compared to the other ones. This is our 10th edition, and we've gotten a wide range of different people. We had some on the jobber side, like the Bob Holly-ish kind of guys and the mid-carders. And we even had Santino for one edition, I think. Obviously, one of the people towards the top is Shawn Michaels and Triple H and those kind of things. But we're doing something a little bit different now. This is our first diva. We're going to do this based on AJ Lee now that she's retired. And Drew had asked us ahead of time, and I figured I would throw it out there for everybody to know. He said, are we ranking them based off of the same kind of criterion for each category? And yeah, that's true for the men. The same thing. You know, if we're going to go with the equality thing, then it should be the same type of package wrapped up in the same superstar. So athleticism, psychology, that kind of stuff, it all applies the same way. There's not going to be like a bunch of gimmies and different things like that. So keep that in mind. But we're going to do this in a circular kind of pattern here. We're going to go the five main categories and the two inside of them and go person to person. So first up is ring skills, athleticism, and psychology. Athleticism is based on the move set that they have, their finisher. Can they do a wide variety of moves or do they botch them? And psychology is their storytelling abilities. Can they sell their injuries in the ring? Do they seem to keep the audience's attention or do they just get boring and stuff? So who wants to go first on ring skills? Too bad, I'm going to just assign somebody. Wago, you go first.
I don't want to do it. So athleticism, I've given AJ Lee a 6. She's average. She doesn't do anything more impressive than any of the Divas other than her cool finisher. And that isn't enough to give her a high score. Psychology, I'm going to give her a 6 too, because I haven't seen her in a long enough match where I can give her anything higher than that. The little few times that she has gone a little longer than usual, she's not done anything to wow me, so that's what I got for her, a 6 and 6.
Peyton, what about you?
For athleticism, I actually gave her a pretty good score. I gave her an 8. It has nothing to do necessarily with the fact that she's not doing any like flippy flips, because it's not all about that. It's more about her conditioning. I mean, I've never seen this girl look like winded or like she's having a hard time keeping up with what she's doing. She still does some pretty impressive stuff. I mean, she does leaps off the top every once in a while. She does some really cool moves that you don't see any other divas do. I mean, of course, her finisher is awesome, but she's done other things as well. She always looks good out there as far as that respect. So I give her an 8 for that. Psychology, I give her a 7. She's nothing super special, but she's always done a fine job. I can't think of any points in a match where I'm like, oh, what are you doing, AJ? Do this right. She's usually pretty good at remembering to sell a body part if it's been hurt at a certain point or anything like that.
Sean, what do you give her for ring skills?
For ring skills, I've given her a 6, because I think all the other divas that are currently on the main roster are kind of sucky, and she's just stood out because of that reason. If she was down at NXT, I think she would have struggled a bit more. But that's just my opinion. I can't remember what her other finisher was besides the Black Widow before she had that. So that's
the Shining Wizard.
Oh, then yeah, that's not a great special back in the day.
She just used it recently.
But Black Widow is all right. I wouldn't be able to do it. I doubt anybody on this panel would be able to do it.
I would try it with her.
I'd let her do it onto me.
I don't know. Once I figured out how to do the move, I'd be able to, like, perform it. It's not hard.
I wouldn't mind tapping that ass. And for psychology, I've also given her a 6 because women's wrestling is women's wrestling, and I'm not invested in women's wrestling unless it's, like, big things that are going on. Like, down at NXT, I watch the women's wrestling because I'm invested. When it comes to the main roster, it's like, ugh, fill up break. I don't give a fuck.
So I'm going with, I think, the same scores here as Peyton, an 8 for athleticism and a 7 for psychology. Pretty good conditioning in the ring, like Peyton had said. I like her Black Widow finisher. I think that she's done a lot of moves better than a lot of divas do. Yeah, a lot of them, you know, they try to do their clotheslines and they try to do their drop kicks and stuff like that. And that's one of the things I criticize the Divas on a lot because they just look terrible. And AJ doesn't look as bad when she's doing that. I think that she's definitely one of the more athletic ones that they've had in a while. Especially when you compare her to like the more model-y types that kind of stay just like firmly planted in the ring. And even when it comes to like taking a bump, like if they get somebody that punches them and they're supposed to fall down, they kind of like, they fall down differently, and AJ just goes for it.
The worst is when they go into the turnbuckles.
Oh, God, and they slow down so much.
Terrified of the turnbuckles.
Mm-hmm. They slow down, like, considerably beforehand, and then just kind of, like, back up and sit down. I hate that. AJ Lee, she throws herself into the corner because she knows that she has to, you know. Psychology, same kind of statements as what everybody else had said. Women's wrestling doesn't really have a whole lot of psychology to it, so she doesn't get like a lot of a playground to mess around with, but yeah, she knows what she's doing, and she's better at that than a lot of the other ones are, that's for sure. But that moves us on to the, not the ring skills, we just did that, the mic skills. Charisma and character. Charisma is more so about their promo cutting skills, whether they're stuttering or they're repetitive or they can keep things fresh. But the character is the gimmick themselves. Are they good as a heel, good as a face? Are they an interesting character, somebody that the fans can actually care what happens to them? Or are they just like the bland nobody that is filling up space? I'll go first on this one, though. Charisma, I gave her a 7. She's a decent talker, and, you know, she can handle herself, but there's something about AJ's promos that always threw me off a little bit. Sometimes, no, I shouldn't say sometimes, more often than not, when she's cutting a promo, she seems like she's really nervous to me. Like, just her delivery and, like, not like a stuttery kind of mix to it, but, like, I don't know, like she's trying to remember her line or something. It's not, you know, horrible. It's not something to really pay too much attention to, but it's enough that I couldn't justify giving her, like, a, you know, 10 or anything like that. Still gets a positive score, though. And her character, I give her a 9 for that. That's actually going to be, I think, the biggest score that I gave her out of this whole thing, because her character has pretty much always been entertaining. She was a cute little spunky girl in NXT, and I liked that. That was fine. Then she started going crazy, and she worked her way up to being the general manager and being somebody who is a featured star on Monday Night Raw in such a short amount of time. She had some of the biggest stories going on with her, and that was just because she was entertaining as a character. So she definitely gets a 9 for me. Especially when so many divas have no character whatsoever. Like, what is fucking Eva Marie's character other than a bitch? Or what is... Hell, what's Layla been for the longest time? So, in comparison to that, she definitely gets a higher score. Who wants to go next?
I'll take it, I suppose. For charisma, I gave AJ Lee an 8. The girl, I think, is one of the best talkers they have around. I've never picked up on whatever you're talking about, Tony. She's always seemed very confident to me. She's always been able to hang in there no matter who she's with. I mean, honestly, I think she's the only other female who was able to go toe-to-toe with Stephanie in the ring on the mic. And when they teased that, that was awesome. People got so into that when they were out there for that moment. Was around SummerSlam last year, I think that was. So I think she's definitely high up on there. Definitely the best diva they had in the company. I think she could hang in there with any male. I'm judging that equally. I still say she would be an 8, judged on an equal plane. On a character, I also have to give her a 9. Near perfect. This girl just came up with this excellent character that crossed out of the divas division, got her into main event spots with John Cena, Kane, Daniel Bryan, all these big names that she got herself involved with. She became the GM with it. She evolved herself through it too. I mean, think about it. When she first came in, she was doing that geeky gamer girl type thing. And she evolved into the crazy chick, and she always kind of did the crazy chick from there, but she did it in different variations, including, you know, she came out dancing in a Kane outfit. That was fun.
So including backstage. Does anybody else want to go?
I don't know. You just said something and no one responded. It got really awkward in here. Like, you're just going to look at the fucking audio clip and it's just going to be dead air. So, as far as charisma goes, I've given her a 7. Solid mic skills, knows how to drop a decent promo. Nothing that's revolutionary, though. Nothing that's going to make me go, oh man, I remember AJ Lee. But a 7's a good score. As far as a character goes, it's evolved a lot. She started out, and she deserves, like, all the credit in the world for that. I think she's had more evolution than probably any diva on the current roster. She started off as that nerdy girl, ended up becoming a psycho bitch. But taking into account her entire character and where it is now, I'm only going to give her a 7, just because she hit her peak relatively fast, and it came and went just as quick. I say her hype with that whole character was the CM Punk Daniel Bryan thing. But after that, yeah. After that, she kind of just fell flat. So I'm not give her an 8. She gets a 7.
My turn. Yay. four charisma, I've given her a 7.5. And reason being is because towards the end, towards the middle of her career, I think CM Punk started writing her promos a bit more. Like the promo where she started bitching about the Divas division, where she was like, "Do I have your attention now?" Blah, 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 blah. So I give her a 7.5 for that. For her character, like the rest of you guys have said, her character was, "Look at me, I'm a gamer girl," to crazy chick. And I've given her an 8 for character development, where she could have gone backwards because of the gamer geek thing, but she didn't. She progressed into further her career. So I've given her an 8 for that.
That moves us on to appearance, physique, and entrance. Physique's pretty self-explanatory. What do they look like? Are they out of shape? That kind of stuff. Does it fit their gimmick? And entrance, that includes everything. The pyro, the music, whatever actions that they do during that. It's all in one big package. So physique, I gave her an 8. She's very, very fit. She's small, so that takes a little bit away from her. But she never stopped being fit. In fact, she probably got better and better as time went on. Some people, you know, they get their little phases where they gain a little bit of weight, they lose a little bit of weight, they look better here, worse here, that kind of thing. AJ, she was fit from the very beginning, and she stayed that way up until, you know, you could look at her now and she's exactly the same. So 8 for that one. Entrance, I gave her a 7, though. Actually, that might even be a little bit too generous. I like her music fits her. They don't have any pyro. They don't have any like extra kind of stuff going on. The skipping to the ring's kind of decent. You know, that caught on with her, but I don't know. I would like a little bit more. What do you guys think about appearance?
So for appearance, I've got a 7 on physique. She's pretty, but I believe I can walk down the street, pick anyone off it, and they can probably kick AJ Lee's ass. And so she gets a 7 for physique. I think it's a solid rating, but I know a lot of people consider her drop-dead gorgeous, but she's got the girl next door appeal, but nothing more. That's my fault. Entrance, she skips. Neat. 6.
For physique, I gave her an 8. She has always been in excellent shape. She's actually, In the last, like, I would say 5 years or so, she's probably been the diva in the best shape, except for maybe Beth Phoenix. She has, like, the perfect amount of muscle without it looking like she has man arms or anything like that. She has, like, just slightly defined abs without looking like, I don't know, you could, like...
Great cheese.
Yeah, we'll go with that. She's pretty much had a perfect build her entire career. The girl took care of herself. So I'm going to give her an 8 for that. Her entrance, I'll give her a 6. It was nothing offensive. She found her niche with the skipping thing. I actually loved that when that first came around, when she would just start doing that in the middle of matches. Like Kane would be having a match and she would just come out and skip around the ring. It was funny. She held on to that for her entire career. So good for you. You know, it's a lot of people will struggle to find an identity with something like that. So at least she got that. So definitely above average with a 6.
And Sean?
Last but not least, the pervert. You know, I've given her an 8.5 for her appearance.
I bet you want to give her 8.5, you know what I'm saying?
I would. But then she'll kick my ass. But but yeah, she was very tightly packaged. You know, she was all tight in the right places. The reason why she's not higher up on the list is because I couldn't get past her face.
What?
So
she's got that Puerto Rican face, and I imagine they don't have many Puerto Rican girls over there.
No,
but I think her face is adorable.
Depends on the angle.
Round for me.
I've seen some weird pictures of her face.
And for her entrance, I've given her a 5.5 because I like the song, and it's like one of my most played songs on my music list.
I could totally sit there picturing you like my at the playlist, computer playing Minecraft, listening to that.
And yes, like Wego says, she skips. It's her thing.
Backstage, professionalism and marketability. There's a little bit of crossover when it comes to this kind of stuff. It's a little confusing, but essentially, professionalism is their behind-the-scenes locker room ideas. Do they get bogged down in the politics? Do they put people over? Do they screw people over? That kind of thing. Marketability is their ability to go out there and be a good representative for WWE. If they have lots of issues going on where they are like a, I don't know, like a danger kind of to throw out there. Like, a, you know, this is kind of a bad example, but like Jack Swagger, he has had multiple arrests. That's going to hurt him in that scenario. Or R-Truth not being able to go to certain places because of his background. And that is obviously a deduction. But it also incorporates different things that they do to promote the company, like charities and talk shows and their image for the company, essentially. I gave her a 6 and an 8. Professionalism gets a downgrade when it comes to that Michelle Beadle situation. That just should not happen. Other than that, I don't really know too much about her doing anything bad. I mean, she lost matches, she won matches, so seems like that's pretty average. Marketability, she gets an 8 for that, though, for me, because she has done her share of charities and Make-A-Wish things and stuff like that. She's not the top of the divas, which is going to be Natalya. She just does shit constantly. So if you compare her to like a Natalya or a John Cena, that's pretty much a 10. She can't get that. But she does do her own stuff. She puts out a good persona. And judging by even like the thing with Conor the Crusher, they had that little set of footage with her talking to him and everything, so she gets points for that. An 8's pretty good for me, I think. What do you guys think? Professionalism and marketability.
Professionalism, I give her a 4, and she's only kind of proved to be a hassle than anything else. The Michelle Beadle issue was out there for a while. That painted her in a bad light, and then she's the first of anyone to like ever call out WWE on anything on social media, so I don't know. I'm sure she's and whilst it's probably minor petty stuff to us, I'm sure she can be considered like someone that's a thorn in their side. Oh yeah, marketability 7. She's like one of the higher tier divas. She's well spoken, knows how to communicate well. She's not too hard to deal with from a PR standpoint, so yeah.
For professionalism, I gave her a 5. A number of notable incidents they've already been mentioned, or people know about them. And just in general, she seemed like the kind of person that just didn't really get along with many people on the roster, like female or male. She seemed like the kind of person who was probably really introverted, kept to herself, only talked to the people she wanted to. I know she was BFFs with Caitlyn. I'm sure there were a couple other people she got along with really well, but for the most part, she probably kept her distance from a lot of people and probably didn't try too hard to do things with them or anything like that. For marketability, though, I gave her a 10. This girl was a perfect person to have as a representative of your female division, and even as a representative of the company. I mean, I think of when I see banners for WWE in the last number of years, she was up there with John Cena and CM Punk or Daniel Bryan or The Rock or whoever the other person was. It's AJ who's put in that spot. So she's been someone who has been a major part of their package they've been going through the last number of years, and rightfully so. She's a beautiful girl. She's clean. She's athletic. She's top of the division. She was perfect for it, every way for it.
What do you mean by clean exactly? Is it kind of like how if you licked Paige, it should probably taste like an ashtray? That's what I get from her.
Sadly, I kind of know what you're talking about.
Well, I mean, she's not like a Sunny.
Okay.
Yeah, people can Google her and not be worried about what the kids see.
Yeah.
I love how that you immediately agree with me about the lick of the ashtray.
Like, maybe not even necessarily an ashtray, but something along those lines. Something that would be, like, an aftertaste.
She seems smoky. I don't know why.
Sean, what do you just give her hot. For backstage stuff?
Backstage stuff, I give her a 5, like, for the same reasons why you guys mentioned. Because of all the mix-up with the whole Michelle Beadle incident and everything. Marketability, she did her stuff for charity. She went to events. She was one of the main divas for everything. So I give her an 8 for that.
And lastly, we have crowd reaction, popularity, and credibility. Popularity is pretty simple. Merchandise sales, Twitter followers, cheers and boos, ratings, that kind of stuff. Credibility goes to their status in a kayfabe sense. Is that somebody who you think is a main eventer or a future legend, you know, top of the tier? Or are they just kind of a piece of shit jobber? Because even though that's, you know, a lot of this stuff is not necessarily kayfabe, that does have a huge factor into that. So I give her an 8 for both. She was very, very popular, extremely popular, one of the most popular people that was going for a while there. And supposedly her merchandise sales were doing, you know, equally as well. I don't know about that, obviously. I don't have the numbers, but a lot of people were claiming that AJ Lee was among the top sellers during her peak. So that speaks volumes. Credibility, though, she won the title multiple times. People are already saying that she's got a Hall of Fame-worthy career, and that is all you got to say that she has credibility. She's short, sure. She's tiny. You know, somebody like a Caitlyn can stand next to her and look like she could beat the living shit out of her. But, you know, we've got Daniel Bryan winning matches against Batista, so why can't we have AJ Lee winning a match against Caitlyn?
And again, you hear people that say that can't buy into Daniel Bryan. True.
That's true.
Yeah, fuck true.
Yep.
As far as what I gave her, crowd reaction, I gave her a 7. She gets a solid pop, and I'd probably give her an 8 if she could escape the CM Punk chance. Credibility, I give 7. From a kayfabe perspective, she can hang with anyone in her division. Again, I still think it really hurts her that I can walk down my street, pluck someone off there, and they can kick AJ Lee's ass.
Payton?
Popularity, I gave her a 9. The CM Punk thing wasn't a thing until her last run, so I mean, that wasn't her fault. I mean, the CM Punk thing just took over. There's nothing she could have done to that. It was her husband.
It's not her fault, but in the end of the day,
it's her husband. It's her husband. There's nothing she could have done to have gotten away from that. It's her husband.
There's nothing.
Absolutely nothing she could have done to make them stop chanting that. Nothing at all. As I said before, she was brought up to the main event scene. You're talking about the fact that she had high merchandise sales. The fact that she had any merchandise sales. She was the first diva, and I think it was something like over 5 years to even have any merch. So that alone speaks huge about her. The girl was a huge, huge star. Did she have any like crossover stuff? I can't think of any crossover stuff that she did at that point. I guess now she's starting to get into the crossover stuff, and I guess that only added to her stardom. So yeah, I gave her a 9 for that. Credibility, I gave her an 8. People have a lot of respect for her in every capacity. I mean, people think she's beautiful. People think she's excellent in the ring. She has a very ardent fan base. So no one's really going to argue much about with that, so I'm giving her an 8.
And Sean, round us out.
crowd reaction, I've given her a 7. Like everybody has said about the whole CM Punk chance thing, I think she could have done something to combat that, like mention it or something. And credibility, I'd give her another solid 7. It is what it is. She sold shirts at the end of the day. Too many S's there for me to say. But yeah, I thought she was pretty awesome. I would have bought one of her shirts if I could have. But you know, shipping.
I bet her shit actually sold really well on Hot Topic. She seems like the type of person that could cater to that audience pretty well. I don't know. Maybe Paige, Glampire.
Yeah, I think Paige could probably get more. What do you give her for credibility, though?
Credibility, I give her a 7.
So, if we figure out the tally that we've all got here, I deducted 1 point from... something from earlier, I can't remember what it was now. But so I balance out to a 75 out of 100, which is still...
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's still really good. I think it's still the number three highest ranked out of all the superstar scores so far. Triple H, I gave the number two spot, and Shawn Michaels says number one, because Shawn Michaels is a fucking man. But that's, you know, above Ultimate Warrior, it's above RVD, it's above, you know, some pretty impressive people. It's above, I think, even Mick Foley. So, for somebody who really likes Mick Foley, that's quite a bit. Peyton, what's your final score?
Dun, dun, dun. My final score was a 78. A little bit higher than you, Tony. I don't have all the ones I've ever did, but of all the ones that I have here in my notes, she is the second highest. The only one that scored higher than her was Ultimate Warrior, and only by one. He was a 79. But she did beat Steve Blackman, Santino Marella, and I think most impressively, Roman Reigns.
That's true. Yeah, she beats out Roman Reigns for me, too.
To be fair, my Steve Blackman beat out Roman Reigns.
What's your final score, Wego?
I got 64 for this one. And it means she's above average to me. And I've never really considered her anything special, so score makes perfect sense to me.
And Sean, what's yours?
I gave her a solid 68.5. And that's... I would say that's above average. Like I said, I thought she was a bit overrated.
A solid 68.5.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't bump it up to 69 just to be like, 69, I gave her a 69.
I was like, did you do that on purpose, Sean? Because that seemed a little too well planned for you, for your personality.
Well, between the four of us, that balances out to an average of a 71 score. Not bad at all. That's a passing grade. So, tell us what you guys think she should be ranked at. Give your ratings for each of these categories below in the comments, or you can leave a comment on the actual article itself on smartcountmoment.com. We have one more main event that we're going to do for the last part of this episode, so stay tuned, everybody. It's time for the mailbag. Welcome back to the final part of episode 177 of Smack Talk. Since we don't have the Fantasy League going on right now, we're in a little bit of an off-season, there's something else that we need to do instead, and that's the mailbag for April. So why not do that in this spot? Two questions sent in, one from Declan Macquarie, one from Silent Way to Doom. Declan says, who are your favorite YouTubers to watch in your free time except for yourselves? I am subscribed to, I think, about 40 channels, and a lot of them are just our own stuff, but the ones that aren't, that I do check out are pretty much all, oddly enough, for somebody who doesn't do video game stuff that much, they're video game and movie related and comic books. CinemaSins, Comics Explained, Comicstorian, Did You Know Gaming, DSP Gaming, How It Should Have Ended, Screen Junkies, Screen Crush, Game Theorists, and Variant Comics. Those are pretty much the main ones that I do. A lot of them are things about comic book storylines. The Screen Junkies and CinemaSins and stuff are the ones that do like the honest trailers and everything wrong with particular movies and stuff like that. And, you know, if they have like an episode of Did You Know Gaming about Donkey Kong or something that I'm interested in, then I check that out. I have no idea what the hell they're talking about when they talk about any other shit. But those are the ones that I check out for the most part. And then I just kind of, you know, browse shit. But there's no like series of like vloggers or anybody that I pay attention to, because I just can't get into that crap. What about you guys? What do you check out on YouTube outside of our own?
I check out MMA fighting mainly just because it's the best MMA journalism you can find. The guys that used to work for Inside Gaming for Machinima have moved to their own channel now called Foonhouse. Machinima. They're pretty good.
Is that what you were laughing at too?
Yeah.
Machinima.
I listen to I watch Ray William Johnson's stuff. Not so much Equals Free as much anymore, but he does a few other shows which are pretty cool. CinemaSins, Honest Movie Trailer, and yeah, I think that's about it. There's Team Four Star, which I watch for their parodies, and Dorkly's got some pretty cool stuff.
Oh, Dorkly is good. I forgot about them. What about you, Sean? Who do you check out on YouTube?
Who do I check out on YouTube? The most I'm subscribed to like a lot, but I would say the top five for me that I always watch is Ashens. He's a big UK YouTuber. the Let's Play channel done by the Achievement Hunter guys. That's pretty good. Cinema Sins. Everybody watches Cinema Sins. You know what's that?
I prefer honest movie trailers, but it's both of them are pretty fun.
Do you watch that, Peyton? Cinema Sins?
Nope.
Oh, there you go.
Vsauce 3 is another channel I like to watch because he comes up with random weird facts, which is pretty good. And Review Tech USA, just because, you know, it's the way I keep up with the gaming news and general IT news and shit, technology news, because I'm a nerd.
So what about you, Peyton? If you're not watching Cinema Sins, which you should be, what else are you watching?
I actually don't watch as much stuff on YouTube or anything like that as I used to. I used to be really into that back in the heyday of, like, Angry Video Game Nerd and Nostalgia Critic and just the love nostalgia chick. But a lot of them have, like, either retired or semi-retired or gotten stale, so I don't watch a lot of them anymore. The only thing I kind of watch on a semi-regular basis is Red Letter Media, who is best known for Half in the Bag, which is where two guys talk about new movies that are out, and the Plinkett Reviews, which you people probably know as like the three-hour Star Wars reviews. Have you ever seen those, where it's not like the old guy voice?
Nope.
I don't think so.
Oh, they're fucking amazing.
Plinkett?
So that's this character he made. It's like this really old man, and he does these reviews of every single Star Wars movie, but mainly known for Star Wars Episode One. And like the review is as long as the fucking movie, but he breaks down every single fucking reason why the movie's bad. Like he just completely—it's the be-all, end-all fucking ripping apart of the Star Wars prequels, and it got so popular. He did some other ones too. He did like the Indiana Jones and Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. He did Avatar. I think he might have done Batman and Robin. I can't remember them all, but
I forgot to mention, which I know you like, paid an Angry Joe Show.
Angry Joe Show is another one of those that I liked more back in the day, and I haven't watched much in a long ass time.
It's fun to watch him bitch about the world, though.
Especially when considering it's all about Nintendo recently. What a fucking crazy.
Donkey Kong, Donkey Kong, Donkey Kong, Donkey Kong, Donkey Kong, Donkey Kong. We've been taken down yet.
And I got tired of his stupid-ass friend that he always has on.
What, the Joe?
That's the fucking worst thing about a lot of these YouTube shows, when they bring on their stupid friends.
It's like, you're funny. I came here for you. Stop trying to do your friend a favor.
Mm-hmm. Other Joe.
So, second question from Silent Wood of Doom.
Oh, fuck that guy.
Oh, God.
Why does Wiggo hate me so much? No, that's true. The question is, if Drew had a segment, what would it be and what would it be called?
I can't say the name because I keep stuttering.
Yeah, my answer to that one is not going to happen. What segments do you think would be good for Drew, though? What would you call a segment that Drew commandeered?
The credits.
He does do quite a bit of outros.
We can't give him a fucking segment because he still end up saying some racist shit and some inappropriate crap, and then we'll just have to edit the entire fucking episode.
Who? Hey, this is Drew White, and this segment is my segment. Fuck all these other people.
I would give him a segment where he reads articles from Kayfabe News.
He might get sponsorship deals if he does that. Especially if he does any of that voice.
I don't know, I would give him some kind of thing where like he could debate whether something is good or bad, and it could be called half wrong, half white.
Oh, I don't want to hear that. I hate Drew when he tries to explain a point.
Can he debate with somebody of Asian descent so it could be half wrong, half white?
Okay, yeah. I guess he's going.
Is that the next iteration of Miguel?
Okay, you need to pause here. I just said you can't give him a segment because he says some racist shit. Then you go and go, hey, let's give him an Asian guy. That won't end badly.
All the more reason.
Hey, Drew would Asian, just panic hey, in that Asian scenario. Dude. Hey, Asian dude. My name's John. Asian dude. This is the racist joke. Now.
Drew, since you're not on this episode, if you listen back to this, you gotta leave a comment of what your segment would be. And if it ends up being, oh, well, I should host the show, then fuck that. That doesn't count. I want to know what you guys think would be good segments for Drew, though. I think that would be hilarious. And I guarantee something like that's going to end up getting the comment of the week for next week. But if you guys have any suggestions of what Drew's segment would be, what you would call it, and all that kind of stuff, leave those comments below. And tell us about the YouTubers that you watch, too, for that matter. So thank
you
for...
Then sub from them, and then tell all your friends to sub to us.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
And make multiple other accounts that you can subscribe to us to. Just make, like, you know, hundreds. That'd be awesome. So thank you, Silo to do. Thank you, Declan, for sending in those questions for the mailbag. Next month's mailbag is going to be at the beginning of the month, I think. Let me bring that up right here. I mentioned it in the rest hole, but I forget it off the top of my head. It is
fucking
episode 181 on May 6th. So... start sending in your questions if you have anything that you want to ask us, and we will get to those beginning of May.
How do people submit for their questions?
They can do that through pretty much any means. They can mostly do that through the contact form of the website, though. That's where I keep track of it the best. But you can tweet us. You can leave a comment below. And you can leave a comment in the chat if I see that. I might not.
So,
post. That's not the
by
best.
By any means, so go ahead and give your home address up.
Yeah, I was about to say, how about some snail mail?
If you got a carrier pigeon, you can send that, you know. Might keep it, though, because that's pretty awesome.
How are you at reading smoke signals?
I'm okay, but...
Morse code.
We do prefer the method of singing telegrams.
You know, if you can send me a message through Braille, that would be awesome. Just have a whole bunch of bumps.
Wow.
So we ran this into the ground, didn't we?
So can I change my team name?
No, Sean, you cannot change your team name.
So, yeah, Fantasy League, what's that, next week or the week afterward?
When's Extreme Rules?
That is 2 weeks, 3 weeks? Let me bring that up, too, because I don't know that off the top of my head.
It's the week of.
That is the 26th of April, so that's a little over 2 weeks away.
Okay, so it's going to be the Monday before Extreme Rules.
So the... Monday the 20th is when we're going to do that.
Oh, we're going to do it on 420? Holy shit. Oh, boy.
So stay tuned for that, and of course we'll give you a little breakdown of that before Extreme Rules when the Fantasy League comes back to this little segment. What do you think we should do for next week, by the way, for this part? Because we do have one more week that we're going to need to fill it in with something. And I don't know about the idea of doing two special features like that are really big. But we haven't even planned a special feature for next week either, so leave a comment if you have any suggestions for that as well. Who knows, maybe we'll do something like that. Maybe we'll do like a two-part Call the Spot or something, I don't know. But plug time. Sean, you're up first.
I ain't got nothing. Just facebook.com/happypopgamerproductions. I'm trying to figure out something to do with that fucking piece of shit. Honest. I've got so much shit recorded. It's just... I just can't be bothered to edit. So if anybody wants to edit for me, be my guest.
Send in an application using Braille. Are you giving consideration to that idea that you brought up to us yesterday about WWE?
Yesterday? I thought about it. I mean, it just seems too much hard work.
Yeah.
Hard work sucks.
Yeah. Because I'd have to like fly to America just to host it. Because internet isn't that great when you guys are like playing on UK servers.
Oh sure, blame us.
Well, you know, it's not my fault the internet sucks.
It's not our fault that you live in the wrong country.
Damn it, Al Gore.
Way go, your plugs. Go for it.
All right, if you like half-baked projects that I'm never finishing, check out Addicted to Anime, UDMMA, and Wago Rants.
He's honest.
Yes. Also, follow me on Twitter at SteveWago for more of those projects. Go to StephenWago.com, which is also an unfinished website.
And Peyton.
Well, if you enjoy listening to all of us rant about wrestling, join us every single Monday following the conclusion of our favorite wrestling show, Monday Night Raw, where we are live on MegaPowersRadio.com for the Raw post show, where we talk about everything that went down on Raw that week. Or if Raw sucked, we'll do something else. We'll always make it a fun time, and we always invite you to join the party. We have a phone line, we have a chat room, we have Twitter, tons of ways for you to get yourself involved. I guess you could mail your something too, but I don't think it would get to us in time. It's only a 2-hour show. So, yeah, MegaPowersRadio.com, After Raw, and for everything else, follow me on Twitter at MRPADEN. That's Mr. Payton.
Alrighty, guys, that will do us in for episode 177. Thank you for listening. Thank you for leaving the comments. Thank you for all that other kind of stuff. For everybody on the panel, I'm Tony Mango. This has been another Smark Out moment, and we're being counted out.
Looking at the bright lights of the city, how loud the beast screams when he sends fools flying. How come we still let Drew do the outro? I'd rather watch Brock throw him through the sky. A city of Germans, a city of throws, a city of bees, killing every one of us. 'Cause you don't want it, no, not these hands. Suplex City, bitch.